Good evening. Largest number by far I've seen on the evening service. Largest number. let's continue to pray for those who are out and dealing with illnesses at this time. They're certainly missed. This morning we began a sermon entitled whom is a faithful and wise steward of time. And so as we talked about, we'll be doing Bible class lessons on stewardship and on missions, and then also the sermons will also fall in line with that. And so we'll pick up tonight right where we left off this morning. We left off with the ABCs in time management, and we noted how we ought to go about our days. A should be something that must be done, and then B should be something that should be done, and then C should be something that we can put off, but it must be done at some point, sometime throughout the day. It could be pushed to the next day, and then D is something that we want to do, but it's not going to be of any significance if we do or do not get to it. And so that's where we left off this morning, and so now we want to prioritize our time. We want to prioritize our time, and first thing that we want to do with our time is make sure that we make time for God. We want to make sure that we make time for God. True time management starts with seeking after God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so if we were the kind of people who were thinking about earthly treasures and we were so focused on that and we wanted to place emphasis on those things, if you can imagine that you are so fascinated with earthly wealth and earthly treasures, God has greater treasures stored for you in heaven. And the only way that you can reach those treasures is to seek after him first. So if we ever seek to make it to those riches, then we have to put him first. And we also have to set our affections on things above and not upon this earth, as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 tells us to do that. We must set our affections upon things above and not upon this earth. Did you know that the average person spends 48 minutes a week doing something religious or a spiritual activity? 48 minutes a week is all they spend. Now, all of us, when we come to church just for one service, we spend more time than that on Sunday, right? So we spend more time than that in just one setting for Sunday morning. But most people, that they only do 48 minutes. So that breaks down to 7 minutes per day. Is that sufficient? Would we say that that's sufficient to amount of time to be spending on something spiritual or religious matters? That's not sufficient. We should not be the kind of people who ever are saying that we are too busy for God. We should never be the kind of people who are saying that we are too tired for God. Well, we should never be the kind of people who are saying that we feel too much pressure to give God our time. We must always seek to give God exactly what he is due, and he is well deserving of our time. If we are the kind of people that make those kinds of excuses, this I would ask of you: would you want God to have your mindset if the roles were reversed? Would we want God to treat us in that way? Would we want God to say, I don't have time for you right now. I know that you're struggling, but I'm busy. I've been doing a lot of things with other people, and I just don't have time for you. Well, we want him to say, well, I'm stressing right now. I'm dealing with a lot of things. I don't think I can help you with that situation. Maybe some other time. Would we want God to say those kinds of things to us? I don't think we would. So why would we treat God that way? We ought not to treat him that way, for he has given us, he is responsible for everything that we have here in this life, and he's done for us far more than we could ever do for him. So he's deserving of some of our time. We must learn that as Psalm chapter 46, Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says that we must be still. Be still and know that I am God. We must know that God is exactly who he says he is, and that he shall be exalted among the heathen, and he will be exalted in all the earth. We must recognize God for exactly who he is and seek to exalt him in all things. We may not be able to do everything that we ever sought out to do, everything that we want to do. But what we need to be concerned with are those things that are important and doing the things that God expects of us to do. Those are the kind of things that we need to concern ourselves with first and foremost. So we need to make time for God. Second, we need to make time for his church. We need to make time for the church. Did you know that less than half of Americans went to church last week? Less than half of Americans attend any kind of service on a regular basis. 24% exactly attend church services on a regular basis. And this is not even including the church. This is not talking about only the Church of Christ. This is about any religious establishment. Only 24% goes consistently to some religious establishment. You see, because some people make excuses. They say that I don't have time to attend church. Maybe my work is getting in the way. I don't have time for that. Well, what you would need to do is to tell your job you need Sundays off. If you work in the morning, maybe it's the case that you can come at night, but you need to be able to worship God. Well, some people have fallen into this trap, and I won't spend too much time on it, but we've fallen into this trap now where we're dealing with a pandemic, and now we're dealing with a lot of live streaming. A lot of live streaming, and some people, simply like this, some people think that they can deceive God. They're concerned with telling us as the members why they are not coming. Of course, some people are legitimate in their reasons why they don't want to assemble, and they're concerned about their condition, and we're not talking about them. But there are some people who are just using this as an excuse. If you were to ask them about what they learned on live streaming, they couldn't tell you anything. You see, but the reason that they're making excuses, they ought to know that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about God, and what you ought to know is that you could never deceive him, because God judges the heart. He judges the heart, and he knows your heart. He knows if you're there really online because of conditions that you are really concerned about. He knows if you're really learning, if you're really worshiping him in your home. He knows everything about you and all that you are doing. So our excuses are no good with him. You might be able to fool man, but you will not fool God. All of us, without exception, have 168 hours in the week. We have 168 hours in a week, and so therefore, would it be unjust of us to say that we should hold ourselves to at least a 10% stewardship principle with God? At least a 10%. Does God deserve 10% of our time? Certainly we can offer him at least 10% of our time. If I say you have 168 hours in the week, that would equate to 17 hours. 17 hours that you would give God if you gave him 10%. 17 hours of your week is really 16.8, but we're rounding up. So 17 hours out of your week that we're going to give to God. If we take five, we can take five and accumulate them in the time that we spend on Sunday services and on Wednesday. We can accumulate those to five, and the amount of time that you spend fellowshipping one with another before and after services, we can say that we spend 5 hours there with assemblies, giving to God. And then we're exercising Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 as it tells us to assemble with the saints. And so then we would then be able to, now we have 5 hours, and then we can now take an hour out of our regular days and give to God. Give to God, maybe we don't have to give the whole hour just studying and reading. We understand some people don't have long attention spans and they don't really enjoy reading. Maybe we can give 30 minutes to reading. Then we can give about 10 minutes to meditation. And then maybe we can give 20 minutes to praying. There's a lot of different ways that we can break this up to give time to God. It doesn't just have to be all reading. We need to be able to make time for God. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." We ought to be those kind of people who are seeking to meditate. Meditate upon those things that we read. As we said, if we take some time to read God's word, then we need to take a moment to meditate upon those things that we've just read. Then we need to take some time out of our day to give him praise. We need to pray to God. With the remaining 5 hours that we have in our day to get those 17 hours in, we could then visit the sick. We can visit the sick. We can visit those who are shut in. We can participate in various services that we might have at the building or various fellowships that we might have. You could create some. You can invite people into your home. You can do a number of things to be involved in God's work. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this: "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We are dealing with a time where maybe some of this is some visiting and things are like that are not so welcomed by some people. But there's nothing wrong with picking up your phone. We have phones. We can call someone. We can send them a text. If I haven't seen someone in several weeks and I know they used to be here, maybe I could send them a text, give them a call, let them know I'm thinking about them. There's a lot of ways that we can spend doing the work of God. And we have to make sure that we are using that time wisely. So we must make time for God and we must make time for his church. Then we also must make time for our families. We must make time for our families. Nobody ever said on their deathbed, "I wish I spent more time in the office." Nobody ever said that. Nobody said, "I wish I could have been at work. I wish I could be there. I know they're going to miss me at work." And you know, we don't really think about work in those moments. We think about our families. And what kind of impact that we're leaving behind with them and how they're going to fare. We want our families there by our side in these moments. It is possible to heap up riches and know not who shall gather them. When you're there on your deathbed, if that's all you're concerned about is the material things that you've accumulated over a period of time, you must understand that you're going to have nothing to do with those once you pass from this life. Maybe it's the case that you left a will, but those wills don't always mean that they're going to the exact place that you wanted them to go to. You might have given those things to someone and then they want to sell them. You're going to no longer have any control over those possessions. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. Notice that with me. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. It says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" He's talking to a wealthy man in this situation who has it all. And he's more concerned about his great riches than he is with his spiritual well-being. The Lord calls him a fool. If I take your life this day, whose riches? What good was all of those riches that you worked for, that you love so much, what good were they? Now that I've taken your soul away from you, I've taken your life. It's not about the riches. It's not about the things upon this earth. But my friends, it should be about, we ought to be, make sure that we spend time with our family, because time is short. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29, time is short. And there's a lot of, and as we already have talked about today, there's a lot of places that we need to be spending our time. There's a lot of individuals that need our time. And one of them is most certainly is going to be your spouse. Your spouse is going to need your time. It takes time to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It's going to take time to do that. And the time is already short, but you also, it's also going to take time for you to spend with your children, to nurture and admonish them and bring them up in the training of the Lord. It's going to take time to do that, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. There's one survey that I ran across regarding fathers in America, the United States of America. It says that fathers in today's time spend about 28 minutes in a week in conversation and teaching their child. 28 minutes in a week. That means there's 4 minutes a day that they speak to their children. This is not even enough time to have a bedtime prayer or tell them a bedtime story. Much let alone, this is not any amount of time for one to teach their child about God and bring them up in his admonition. We need to make sure that we're spending time with our families. So we need to make time that we're spending time with God. We make time for God. We need to make sure that we make time for his church. And then we also need to make sure that we make time for our families. And my friends, we also must make sure, without a doubt, that we make time for ourselves. We must make sure that we take time for ourselves. Isaac took time. He took time for himself to meditate in the field. He took time to meditate in the field in Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. He took time. Jesus, when he encouraged his disciples in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, he encouraged his disciples in this situation because so much was leaning upon their shoulders. They were being weighed down, and Jesus encourages them in these moments. The people were after them. People were taking, making a lot of demands upon his disciples, and the burdens became really heavy. And they hadn't took any time to meditate and to do some things for themselves. The Lord encourages them in this situation. We must make sure, maybe that's the same kind of situation for some of us, that we're carrying a lot of weight on our shoulders for our families, and we're doing a lot of things, and we don't have enough time to release some of that stress that might be built up. You need to have personal time. Take time to pursue your hobby, whatever that might be. If you like to read novels, take time to read novels. If you or your favorite magazine, if you like to go to the gym, take time to do that. Make sure you stay fit. Take time to do whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to share an afternoon with your child, go to a museum or something. If you want to go to those Saint games, as you... a lot of fans are in here tonight. If you like to go to the Saint games, do that. Spend time with it. Take a moment to yourself and relieve some stress. Do something that is opposite for work for you. It ought to be without thinking. You ought not to have to think about these kind of things. It ought to be free-flowing. I'm just having a good time. Something that you like to do and you don't really have to put a lot of stress and strain upon your brain. Find something that relieves tension and makes you feel more complete as a person. You know how some things, when you don't do some things, you don't feel like yourself? That's the thing that we're talking about. You need to do some of those things at times when you're being stressed out. And I haven't done this, and I really don't feel like myself. Well, you need to go do that. You need to go do that. Make sure we take time for ourselves. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Notice that. This is exactly where our title comes from. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? And we add on the end of time. That's our title for today, and that's what we've covered today. And that's the question that we would ask of you, because God is going to ask that question. As we said earlier about Luke chapter 16, verse 2, he's going to ask you to give an account of your stewardship. Give an account. What have you done with those things that you were left to be in charge of, that you were manager, that you were managing, those things that you were over? What were you doing with your time? What were you doing with your money? What were you doing with all of these things that you had full control over? What were you doing with those things? As we said, a steward is just a manager of things. And without the something at the beginning, whether it's good or bad, we don't know what kind of steward you are. What would be said of you? Are you a good steward of your time, or are you a bad steward? We need to make sure that we are good stewards of our time. And the way that we can do that is by prioritizing these things that we talked about tonight. Prioritizing these things and making sure that we put God first. Making sure we put God first. As we said, when we talked about that list, the ABCs there, the reason why it needs to be prioritized. The reason why it needs to be prioritized is because I don't think any one of us here tonight would say that God is not more important than some of those other things that we're going to put on our list. I don't think we would say that anything else is more important than Him. And so if we're starting with priority, then we know that at the very top must be something concerning God. And this is not something that we're just talking about as theories, and it might work and it might do you well. It's been proven. It's been proven. And it will. It will serve you well. We have to put God first in our life. He says that in His Word. When you put Him first, things are going to go very well for you. Very well. Let us be the kind of people who are seeking to put God first in our lives and be good stewards of our time. Time flies. Time flies, and it's short, and it goes by very fast. And as we said, with some of those, if we have a leak, like we said with the tire, it has a leak, you might not even notice it, and the time's just going away. Time just goes away, and we get caught up with some things that really are not important. And so it's time for us to do a lot of things, but one thing I would say it is most assuredly time for us to do is to become faithful Christians. It's time for us to become faithful Christians and be concerned about the kingdom of God more than we are with these earthly welfares that we have here on this earth. If you're a person here tonight who's been struggling with some things in your life, and you desire the prayers of the saints, and you want to be a better steward of your time, and you desire our help, we want to help you with that. Make yourself known as we stand and sing the invitation song.